Let's turn in our Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. There's some reverb on the mic we need to fix. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 is going to be our focus. And for this next month, we are going to be studying from the subject revival prayer. Revival prayer. Someone say revival prayer. I believe we have a flyer up there that says revival prayer. And I want us to focus on this subject of revival prayer because we really believe that God is going to revive some areas in our life. And we are super excited because for October is our prayer month, and we launched 30 prayer stations throughout the week. We're actually passing out, or we should be passing out this flyer today, that it has all 30 of our prayer stations throughout the week, because we want to challenge you this month to pray. Someone say pray. So if you look at these addresses, there's some in Paramount, there's some in Long Beach. There's one here on Thursday nights. If you are available Thursday night, we do have children's ministry. Want to encourage you to step up your prayer life. We have one in, we have some all throughout. We have some in Carson, Long Beach, Whittier. We have some in Lakewood. We have some at a restaurant. I don't know how it ended up at a restaurant, but we got a prayer station at a restaurant. So we got many, many different options. We got some on Wednesday at the Long Beach campus. Many, many options for you to get involved in. So before you leave, make sure you get one of these flyers. Check it out. And I would encourage you to commit to a prayer station once a week for the month of October. Someone say October. Now, for the next month, or at least for the next couple weeks, we are going to be studying out of the book of Habakkuk. I want you to turn there. It's in the Old Testament towards the end of the Old Testament, and we are going to be focusing today on a portion of scripture, verses 1 and 2, Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In fact, I'm going to put it up on the screen right now. Let's put it up on the screen. And what I want us to do, if you're able, I want to invite you to stand up to your feet, because we're going to read this prayer together out loud in unison. So if you're able, let's stand to our feet, and we're going to read this prayer out loud. Now, I want to help you out, because there's one word in here that's kind of hard to pronounce, and so I'm going to help you pronounce it, because I've done some research on how you pronounce this word. So this word right here is pronounced, as best as I can say it, Shigoynath. Shigoynath. Someone say Shigoynath. All right, so on a count of three, we're going to read this prayer really loud. 1, 2, 3. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning, and we look to your word for encouragement. We look for your word for to your word for strength, and we also look to your word for correction, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We are going to be studying for the next couple weeks out of the book of Habakkuk. I want to encourage you to read it as a devotional throughout the week. It is only three short chapters. It's only three short chapters. Now, Habakkuk is an interesting individual in that he was an Old Testament prophet that lived during a time that the nation of Israel was going through major persecution. They were going through major devastation. The people had rebelled against God, and they were suffering because of the rebellion. His people were being slaughtered. His people were being destroyed by the Babylonians. And at this time, Habakkuk's faith was being crushed. His faith was being crushed. And Habakkuk, somehow, he has what I like to refer to as a spiritual breakdown. Someone say breakdown. He has a spiritual breakdown because his people are suffering. The nation is about to be destroyed. He's looking around at all the bad things, and he cries out to God. Two major questions he cries out. He says, "Why, God? Why, God, is this happening to us? Why, God, are you allowing us to suffer? Why, God, are you not answering our prayer? Why, God, are you allowing our enemies to triumph over us? Why, God?" And he asks another question. He says, "How long, God? How long will you be silent? How long will you allow us to suffer? How long will you allow us to be devastated?" He cries out. He has a breakdown. He says, "Why, God, and how long, God?" In fact, you don't have to turn there, but in chapter 1, verse 2, he actually says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen?" Have you ever felt that way? Has anybody ever had a spiritual breakdown where you cry out to God, "Why, God, are you allowing me to suffer? Why, God, is this happening to me? How long, God, are you going to not answer my prayer? How long, God, what must I be in this situation?" If you've never ever experienced a spiritual breakdown, just keep on living, because eventually you will. The book of Habakkuk is a fascinating book, in that it is actually a personal journal of a prophet. It is a personal journal of a prophet. And in it, he reveals his hurts. In it, he reveals his pains. In it, he reveals his frustration. In it, he reveals his hangups. Like, if you're a little bit of a nosy individual and you like to read somebody's journal, I encourage you to read Habakkuk, because it is a revealing look into the frustration of a prophet of God. Now, in the midst of his anguish and in the midst of his tears, Habakkuk cries out, "O Lord, revive your work. O Lord, revive your work." And this is our focus for the month of October. This is our focus for our prayer life in October. We are crying out as the body of Christ, "O Lord, revive your work." We want to experience the power of God. We want to experience the healing of God. We want to experience the Holy Spirit in a new way. We don't want to just be spectators in what God is doing. We want to be participators in what God is doing. We don't just want to talk about how God used to work and how he used to show off. We want God to show out in our lives. Does anybody believe that this morning? So we want God to revive his work in our generation. Amen? We want God to revive his work in our lives. We want God to revive his work in our families. Why do we pray such a prayer? Like, what gives us the audacity to pray such a prayer, "O Lord, revive your work"? I want to remind us this morning that we serve the God of revival. We serve the God of revival. God is the source of revival. God is the initiator of revival. God is a professional reviver. He says, God, in Isaiah 57, verse 15, he says, "I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of contrite and lowly spirit, to revive." Someone say revive. To revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive, someone say revive. To revive the hearts of the contrite. Look at what he says. God says he wants to revive your heart. He wants to revive your life. He wants to revive your devotional life. If you've been discouraged, you've come to the right place. If your faith is dying, you have come to the right place, because I believe that God is going to revive somebody in this next 30 days. I believe that God is going to pour out his spirit like never before in someone's life that cries out to him, "Lord, oh Lord, revive your work." I really believe that God is going to revive someone miraculously. He's going to revive some marriages. He's going to revive some hope. He's going to revive some faith. I really believe he's going to revive some finances in Jesus' name. Now, as we talk and study about the subject of revival, I want to give you some definitions of what revival is. Revival means to bring back to life. To bring back to life. The enemy has a way of trying to kill some things in our life. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to destroy our faith. He comes to destroy our hope. He comes to destroy our peace. And I really believe that God is going to bring some life back to our Christianity today. Revival means to bring back to life. It also means to awaken the soul. Revival means to awaken the soul. There's too many people asleep. Too many Christians asleep in the kingdom of God. Too many sleepwalking individuals in the kingdom of God. They're walking, but they're asleep. They're working, but they're asleep. They got up, but they're still asleep. The enemy will take advantage of you whenever you're spiritually and emotionally asleep. Just look at Samson. Look at our brother Samson in the Bible. When Delilah attacked him, when Delilah took his strength, the Bible says that Samson was asleep. We get taken advantage of when we are asleep. And I really believe that God is going to wake somebody up this month. I really believe that there's going to be an awakening in somebody's soul. That somebody's going to be driving to church and all of a sudden a light is going to go off in your life. And you're going to be like, "Woo! I feel like I'm awake up in here." Revival means to awaken the soul. Revival means to renew our passion for God. It means to renew our passion for God. Because some of us have lost our passion. Some of us have left our passion. Some of us didn't lose our passion. We left our passion somewhere. And in order to gain back what you lost, you got to go back to where you left it and pick it back up. Revival will renew our passion for God. My brothers and sisters, I want to suggest to us that we all, on some level, need revival. We need revival in our hearts. We need revival in our families. We need revival in our minds. We need revival in our faith. We need revival in the White House. Someone say amen to that. Psalms 141, 143, verse 11. I'm going to put it up on the screen. It says, "Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. I'm tired of laying down. I'm tired of being stuck in the mud. My soul is going to come out and praise the Lord. I refuse to stay lost. I refuse to stay hurt. I refuse to stay stuck. I'm coming out. I'm coming out." Touch your neighbor and say, "I'm coming out. I'm coming out." We need revival. We need revival. Revival will save a life. Revival will save a soul. Revival will save a marriage. Revival will save a mind. We need revival. And one of the reasons why we need revival is because we are all, at some point in time, drifters. We're all drifters. This world has a way of getting us to drift away from the plan of God, drift away from our prayer life, drift away from church, drift away from our love for Jesus. This world has a way of pushing us off course, and God wants to align us back again through revival. I'm lining up. I believe that this revival is going to line some people up, going to line you up better than the barber. Hello, somebody. How many of us will confess, right, admit that we need revival in some area of our life? Some area of our life we need revival. And I'm challenging the church, come this Thursday and Friday with a high level of expectation to receive from God. Now I want to teach you something this morning to help position us for revival. And one of the things I want to teach us, actually Habakkuk kind of teaches us, is that God brings revival through travailing prayer. God brings revival through travailing prayer. In verse 3, it says, or chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "A prayer
of Habakkuk the prophet. Now, it's very interesting that Habakkuk turned his complaint into a prayer. He turned his complaint into a prayer. Let me teach you something for a second. You know the difference between a complaint and a prayer? You know the difference between a complaint and a prayer? A complaint is a concern directed to a person. A complaint is a concern directed to a person. A prayer is a concern directed to God. A prayer is a concern directed to God. Now listen to this. God has put a concern on your heart because he wants change in that situation. This is the reason why God irritates your heart with certain things in life. This is the reason why God puts a burden on your heart for certain things. The reason why he puts a concern on your heart is because he wants change in that situation. But get this. Some of y'all are not getting the expected change because you keep your concern at the level of a complaint. You keep your concern at the level of complaint. As long as you exclusively direct your concern to man and not God, it stays at the level of a complaint. Anybody picking on what I'm putting down? You turn your complaint into a prayer by redirecting it from man to God. You turn your complaint from a complaint to a prayer by redirecting it from man to God. Can I take you a little bit deeper? If you are a complainer, well, some of y'all are, you don't even know it. If you are a complainer, it's probably a sign that God has called you to be a prayer warrior. If you're a complainer, it's probably a sign that God has called you to be a prayer warrior, but you have never elevated your focus. Your focus stays in the natural realm, i.e. you keep complaining to man. And as long as you keep your focus to man, you stay in the natural realm, and therefore you get natural results. But if you'll refocus your direction and your concern from the natural to the supernatural, from man to God, then you'll start getting supernatural responses in your life. And some of y'all, you're in a situation that the natural cannot help you. You need a supernatural outbreak of the power of God in your life. And so you got to refocus and change your direction from man to God. Is anybody picking up what I'm putting down? Habakkuk took his concern to God in prayer, and this was the key of turning his burden into a blessing. It was the key to turning his burning or burden into a blessing, because prayer ignites revival. Prayer ignites revival. Prayer ignites revival. It triggers revival. It explodes revival. I want to remind you what God says. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and what? Pray. Someone say pray. It takes humility to pray. It takes humility to get down on your knees. It takes humility to say, God, I can't fix it. God, I don't have enough strength. God, I need your help. That's why he says, humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's called repentance. Someone say repentance. Can't skip repentance. You got to denounce some things. You got to renounce some things. You can't live the way you used to live and expect God to spoil you with his power. No, 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 no. We got to repent from our sin. We got to repent from our wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Prayer ignites revival. Now, as we go back to the prayer of Habakkuk, I want to suggest to us that this was not casual prayer. Habakkuk's prayer in chapter 3 was not casual prayer. Two times he uses the phrase, O Lord, O Lord. This is the New King James Version, where he says, O Lord, Oh Lord. Now it's very fascinating that this one little word, oh, this one letter word, it expresses deep felt longing. It expresses intensity. It expresses passion. I'm going to say that again. In the New King James Version, when he says, oh Lord, that word oh expresses deep felt longing. It expresses intensity. It expresses passion. And this word is all throughout the Psalms. For example, in Psalms 119, 69, he says, oh Lord, listen to my cry. I want to suggest to us the prayer of Habakkuk was not a casual prayer, but it is what we refer to as travailing prayer. Someone say travailing prayer. I'm going to teach you something, so pay attention. I'm going to help kind of... My goal this month is to blow up someone's prayer life. That's my goal this month. Is to really help you to see what prayer is in the Bible. And I'm going to suggest that as we really learn what prayer is in the Bible, some of us, if not all of us, are going to have to repent from prayerlessness. Listen to this. Travailing prayer is the prayer of the Bible. It is what gets God's attention. The Bible is unfamiliar with casual prayer. It is unfamiliar with casual prayer. Let me attempt to break down what travailing prayer is. Number one, travailing prayer is burdened prayer. Someone say burdened prayer. When you take on the burden of God for a cause, you have just entered into travailing prayer. When you take on the heart of God for a cause, you have just entered into travailing prayer. God has a burden for his will to be done on this earth. And when he reveals to you an aspect of his will for your life or your family member's life or your friend's life or a situation, and you tap into the heart of God and you pray as if God would pray for that situation, you have just tapped into travailing prayer. Anybody following along? Travailing prayer is the type of prayer that has the audacity to say, Lord, break my heart with what breaks your heart. See, God has a burden for your loved one to be saved and delivered. There's no one more excited for your loved one to be saved than God. No one more excited. When you take on that burden with your deep prayers, you entered into travailing prayer. See, God has a deep burning or burden for your marriage to be strong and for your marriage to be healthy. God has a burden for your spouse to be on fire with the Holy Ghost serving the Lord. There's nobody more excited for your spouse to be serving the Lord than God is. When you take on the burden of God for your spouse, you will just enter into travailing prayer. Travailing prayer is taking on the burden of God. Let me tell you something. Travailing prayer will work more wonders than complaining. Psalms 126 verse 5. You don't have to turn there. Listen to this. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Tears are often the down payment for the answers we seek in prayer from God. Tears are often the down payment that we give for answers that we seek in prayer from God. Just as the Holy Spirit uses our mouth to witness with the gospel, just as the Holy Spirit uses our hands to serve, the Holy Spirit also wants to use our heart and our emotions and our tears to plead to the Father, to plead to the Father on behalf of our loved ones or on behalf of a situation. And when you've touched the heart of God in your prayer life, you have just entered into travailing prayer. Travailing prayer is also insistent prayer. Insistent prayer. When you look back at Habakkuk, listen to what he says. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. Look at that phrase, in the midst of the years. In other words, Habakkuk was crying out, Lord, we need your revival now. Lord, we need your power now. We need your Holy Spirit now. We need your revival now. We need your restoration now. We need your answer now. We need your presence now. Lord, if you don't show up, we're going to die. That's insistent prayer. It's not arrogant prayer, but it's insistent prayer. Charles Finney, the great preacher of old, said, keep up a constant argument with God for all that you need. Keep up a constant argument with God. Travailing prayer is also persistent prayer. Someone say persistent prayer. Luke 18:1 says, then Jesus told the disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Not throw in the towel. Not give in. Not give up, not lay down, not give in, not give up. I shared with you last week the reason why so many Christians don't have much from God is because it's so easy to get them to give up. It's so easy to get them to give up. All the devil got to do is tap them on the shoulder and then they're crying. Remember, we studied about blind Bartimaeus a couple weeks ago when he initially cried out, Lord, have mercy on me. And the disciples and the religious leaders told him to shut up. What does he do? He doesn't lay down. He didn't shut up. The Bible says he cried even more. That's persistent prayer. That's persistent prayer. The great reformer Martin Luther said while he was praying for his friend, listen to what he said. He said, I attacked the Almighty with his own weapons, quoting from scripture all the promises I could remember that prayer should be granted, and said he must grant my prayer if I was henceforth to put my faith in his promises. That's persistent prayer. Why should God care about your prayer if you don't care about your prayer? Why should God care about your cause if you don't care about your cause? Yeah, we voice our concern, but if you don't ever put in the work, if you're not ever shedding tears, then how much do you really care for that thing to be done? I'm challenging the church as we enter into our prayer month. Away with the pretty little prayers. Away with the heartless prayers. Maybe the reason why you're not experiencing the power of God in your life is because you really haven't even been praying according to the standard of the Bible. Maybe this is the reason why your prayers go unanswered, because you're not lining up with the biblical standard. The Bible is unfamiliar with casual prayer. I want to show you a series of verses to back this up. Listen to this as I put it up on the screen. Travailing prayer was the prayer of the Israelites when they were in Egyptian slavery. Listen to what it says. The Israelites groaned and cried out under their burden of slavery, and their cry for deliverance from bondage ascended to God. They groaned and they cried. I remember the Lord kind of rebuked me a couple years ago when I began to pray. I remember the Lord rebuked me saying, man, I remember when you used to moan and groan to me in prayer. I remember when you were in prison and you were crying out to me for freedom. You weren't coming to me with no little bitty prayers. Brian, I remember when you'd be in the chapel on your knees crying out to me, Lord, deliver me. Lord, don't let me die in here. Lord, I don't want to die in here. Lord, I need your help. And I remember the Lord a couple years ago rebuking me, saying, now, Brian, you get caught up in the world and you're praying these pretty little prayers. Praying these little pretty prayers. You need to get back to how you used to cry out to me. I remember, man, when I was in prison, Lord, Lord, I don't want to die in here. Lord, I need your help. I'm surrounded by like hyenas and lions, Lord. I need your help, Lord. If you don't show up, I'm not going to survive. I don't have the strength for this, Lord. I need your power. I need your help. Crying out to God, just like the Israelites. Her travailing prayer was the prayer of Hannah when she wanted a child. 1 Samuel 1:10, it says, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. She didn't allow her anguish to drive her away from the Lord. She used her anguish to empower her to press into the kingdom of God. And she cried out. And the Bible says that she cried out so loud they thought she was drunk. They thought she was drunk. She had to say, man, I ain't sipping on no malt liquor this morning. I'm crying out to God. That was travailing prayer. Travailing prayer was the prayer of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions, get this, with fervent, that means heated, cries and tears. We often talk about the miracles of Jesus and we want the miracles of Jesus, but we ignore his prayer life. Oftentimes, Jesus will spend all night on the mountain praying, crying out to the Father with tears and fervent cries to the Father. In fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the first thing that drew the blood of Jesus was not necessarily the cross, but it was prayer. He prayed so hard that he began to sweat blood. We want the miracles of God, but we don't want to put in the work for God. Travailing prayer was the prayer of Apostle Paul in Galatians 4, verse 19. Paul witnesses, he says, my little children of whom I travail, someone say travail. I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. You cannot have any type of birth without any type of pain. And some of us are trying to go the easy route and we don't want resistance, but you can't have birth without pain. Got to go through the pain. Got to put the down payment down. Your tears are the down payment for the answers you seek. If you ain't shed no tears over your cause, I don't know if you really want it. Travailing prayer was the prayer of the early church. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12 testifies of this one brother in the early church. This brother got into the Bible not because he was a preacher. He got in the Bible not because he was laying hands on somebody. This brother Epaphroditus got into the Bible because he had a testimony that he knew how to pray. And Epaphroditus, it says, is always wrestling in prayers for you. That brother was no joke. He was a wrestler. He was like Hulkamaniac. That brother was wrestling in prayer. Power of God exploding in his life. And notice, he's not praying for himself. He's praying for somebody else. He's wrestling in prayer. Now listen, in my sanctified imagination, I could imagine what that brother looked like when he prayed. I could imagine what he sounded like when he prayed. He wasn't praying no pretty little prayers. In fact, I would suggest to us that if Epaphroditus was around us today, some people would be complaining about that brother. Oh, he is too loud, Pastor. Oh, he makes funny noises, Pastor. Oh, you should see him getting excited. And there's a reason why he experienced the power of God. The early church, they travailed in prayer. They didn't have no pretty little prayers. They didn't have no heartless prayers. They experienced the power of God in part because they wrestled in the Spirit. My brothers and sisters, as we examine biblical prayer and compare it to our prayer lives, many of us will need to repent from prayerlessness. If we are honest, some of us will confess, according to the biblical standard that I just laid out this morning, we may have really never ever prayed. Oh yeah, we let out words. Oh yeah, we may have paused and looked like we talked to God. But according to the biblical standard, we may have to confess that some of us have never really prayed. When is the last time you groaned and cried out to God? When is the last time you shed a tear while you were praying? When is the last time you wrestled in prayer? Maybe the reason why the power of God is not exploding in your life is because you're not wrestling it down. When is the last time we travailed in prayer? This is my challenge for the church all weekend long. I really, God has given me a hard assignment. And one of the assignments that God has given me is to blow up some people's prayer life. And I got to confess, I confessed this a couple years ago, but when I first started, kind of my eyes began to open to this, I had to repent myself. And I look back at that time, maybe, I don't know, 15, 17 years of serving the Lord, I had to confess that probably 70% of what I thought was prayer, what I was doing, wasn't really even prayer. It was just going through the motions with no emotion. It was just thoughting I was talking to God. But if I was really serious, I would be wrestling in prayer for that cause to be done. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite the worship team back up this morning. And as we kind of transition this morning, I'm going to have a special altar call just for a couple moments. And this altar call is going to be for two groups of people, number one, maybe there's one or two people in here that after reading the Bible this morning, after listening to what the Bible says about prayer, maybe you are coming to the conclusion that, man, I haven't even really prayed in a long time. Maybe I haven't even been praying. Yeah, I've been talking to God, but I haven't really been digging in, pressing into prayer. So some of us will need to repent from prayerlessness. But there's another group I'm going to invite to the altar is anybody who desires or you feel like the Lord is leading you to start a new season of prayer in your life. You want to start a new season of fervency, a new season of heated prayer in your life. And you just want to ask God, Lord, help me to pray. Help me to pray. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the altar for them two groups of people. Everybody else, I want to encourage you to stay where you're at in an atmosphere of prayer. And let us just cry out to God. Let us cry out to God. So the altar is open. I invite you up if you need to respond. And I'm just going to lead in prayer myself as the worship team kind of leads lightly in the background. Let me lead it off. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we repent. We repent. Lord, we repent, Lord, from prayerlessness. We repent. We repent. We repent. We repent, Lord. We're sorry. Lord, forgive us from prayerlessness. Lord, we thought all along we were praying, but somehow we got deceived. Lord, give us a spirit of travailing prayer. Give us a spirit of pressing into prayer, Lord God. Lord, we repent. Have mercy on us. The altar is open. I encourage you just to cry out to God, even from your seats. Let us just cry out to God right where we're at. Prayer is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger you get. The more you use it, the stronger you get. So I'm going to give space right now for all of us, right where we're at. Just cry out to God. Exercise that spirit of prayer right where you're at. Cry out to God right where we're at. Lord.